And hello out there once again to you fine folks in Radio Land. Adam Lepp here on WGH Talk Radio with a feature that we are proud and pleased to present approximately once a month for your edutainment. It will be entertaining. It'll be educational. Always a few giggles or two. And as I say, you will come away from this program with a few more brain cells than you had before you sat down to listen to said broadcast. And the reason for that is I present to you our official naturalist for this station, other stations, the entire area, and maybe even for the entire Milky Way, Mr. James Anderson. Let's hopefully the intern has properly duct taped the cables, set the microphones at the right level, and made sure that our mixing board is mixing properly. So how are you there, James, on this rather chilly fall day in mid-Ohio?
Oh, I am wonderful.
Well, wonderful is always a good way to be. I could certainly think of the alternatives. You know, this time of the year, James, the weather seems to get colder and the sunset seems to be earlier just about every day. So we almost start looking forward to spring in a few months. But I don't mind winter. You know, I enjoy the change of the seasons. I like the variety. Sometimes you get three or four seasons in the course of 1 week. That really kind of makes it fun. Now, as the naturalist for the Marion Park District, you wear many hats, do many things, plan programs, work on the social media, make presentations, and a lot of other things, again, that are educational as well as entertaining. We like to combine those two qualities. For those who may not be familiar with you, go ahead, please, and run down again exactly whom you work for and what you do, and also how long you've been doing these broadcasts on the station, because you've actually had several hosts whom you have interacted with.
Yeah, so, yes, I'm in charge of the county parks here in our wonderful county. So I'm in charge of Marion Sawgrass Trail, Greenspur, Paradise, Myers Woods, and the Caledonia Nature Preserve. So a lot of people don't realize there are about 8 or 9 parks departments in Marion County, and we're just one of them. So like the ones in downtown Marion, those are owned and operated by the city of Marion. But yeah, I've been in the whole naturalist environmental education field for about 14 years, and I've worked in camp and non-camp settings across Ohio. And yeah, I've been with the park district. It'll be 9 years in May. So yeah, it's hard to believe I've been there for almost a decade. But yeah, I've been starting doing this program with Charlie Evers. I want to say it was about the second year when I was with the park district. I want to say 2016, 2017. Somewhere in that time. And then, of course, you know, when he passed away, I was with Glenn Coble, and now I'm with you. So yeah, it's fun how I've been hopping around to some of our different people with the station.
Not really your third choice, just the third person that you've been on the air with. And you and I have been friends for many years. I was always intrigued when we were at the studio at the mall, and you would bring in some show and tell, so to speak, when you spoke with Charlie.
Yes.
And show and tell would not be the traditional type of item that perhaps because you have a young son who might bring into school. At least when I was in school, they had show and tell, and I guess they still do. Your show and tell sometimes involved live creatures or plants or something a little bit out of the ordinary. And I don't think any of these creatures bit or otherwise endangered one of our esteemed hosts, but sometimes it's fun to have a type of creature you might not normally see as you open up your front door on a refreshing and crisp autumn morning, like we're kind of getting at this point. You're still a young man, James. This is pretty much the job that you've had all of your adult life. So in coordination with your education, your natural enjoyment of the flora and fauna, you pretty much got the dream job. You're living the dream in terms of how you're employed. I mean, you probably don't think of it as work. It's fun that you do every day. Plus, every day is kind of different, isn't it? You don't really know what's going to happen when you turn the alarm clock off in the morning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One day I could be teaching kindergartners, and then the next day I be teaching at a nursing home or doing a program at Marion OCU or dropping Christmas trees in a lake or helping with a prescribed a prairie burn. So yeah, every day is different, and it's fun because, you know, you're not doing the same thing over and over again.
This program is going to be so good that it will be broadcast several times. So you might be hearing this program in early December, late November, or you might enjoy it so much you will go to our archives under Adam's section on WWGH1071.com to listen to the program again, maybe in the car, maybe like me, on the Bluetooth headset at the gym, because it's going to be so good. And we certainly appreciate that. One thing you do, James, if I'm not mistaken, is work on the social media and electronic communication with the Park District. And that's how we get a lot of our information here about what's going on there. So before we kind of dive into today's topics and a rundown of past, present, and future events, remind our listeners how to get in touch and keep in touch with you on social media, as well as email or anything else that they can use to become a charter member, I guess, of the fans of the Marion Park District. How's that for a title?
Yeah, I like that. So, yeah, we have, our Facebook pages, our two Facebook pages, the Marion Tallgrass Trail and the Marion County, Ohio Park District page, and we manage them just the same. And, of course, we're on Instagram and Twitter, which I know is now X now. And then we're also on this new one, which I'm not 100% sure all about it, but it's called Threads, which is basically, I think, Instagram trying to be like Twitter. And, of course, we do have our YouTube channel. And speaking of that, we just hit 500 subscribers on that. So we've been very lucky that, you know, people are really intrigued of our videos. We have things from nature education to reading in nature for the young kids, nature discoveries in Marion County, then so much more. And, of course, I added some fun little humor and I call nature memes. But, yeah, it's just fun to be fun and interactive and just people that, you know, may not be, have the chance to get outdoors, but, you know, I'm bringing the outdoors to them. So but, of course, too, what now?
Well, we remind people, James, that if you're in a nursing home or you're a teacher, educator, some kind of place where there are multiple people who are likely interested in what the park district does, that you will speak to these groups, and that there's no charge for that in Marion County, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, anything outside of Marion County, we do charge. So.
And that's a pretty good thing to have. I mean, everybody's interested in the world around us, and many people don't understand or don't really appreciate it. And I think I'm guilty of that too sometimes, the diversity of the flora and fauna in this area. I would say that Mid-Ohio is one of the best diversities of plants, creatures, critters, etc. Objects that are living that are not the member of the species Homo sapiens, and we should get out and enjoy them. And what you do, I think, is great, that you have programs. You're always open to emails and interaction on social media. And, of course, we have these programs that are publicized regularly on social media and other places. Now, speaking of the Park District, James, and this change of the seasons, this time of the year, you know, it could be 50 and sunny one day and 20 windy and snowy, like we had a day or two before we're taping this program. And so you never quite know what the weather's going to be like. And since you do provide programs all year round, and sometimes it's, we might call the off season, the colder weather, that has some of the most interesting stuff to look at. If people do come to these presentations, you know, bring your winter coat, bring your scarf and hat, and just dress for the weather and enjoy nature. I would say if the birds and the deer and other creatures can be out in this weather and not complain, well, I think as humans, we should kind of be doing the same thing. As we get ready for the Christmas season, James, tell us exactly what the Park District does to celebrate the holiday season. Do we put wreaths all over the Tallgrass Trail, or do you do anything with Christmas trees? And do you have any programs? I know you had a turkey program scheduled for late Thanksgiving. So again, just because it's cold and change of seasons doesn't mean that there are exciting things going on at the Park District. So why don't you share with us some of the happenings that we can look forward to this time of the year?
Yeah, so one of the things that we have done in the past, we have actually worked with Lowe's in Marion. They actually reached out to me a few years ago, and some of the Christmas trees that they did not sell for the Christmas season, they actually called and said, hey, we need to get rid of these trees, and we figure you could use them. I said, well, sure. So in the past, we have made fish habitat. So what we had to do is they dropped off the trees, and they dropped off some cement blocks, and we had to drill some holes, and we had to wait till it got really cold and froze, and the lake froze over, and then we placed the trees out in the lake, and as the saying goes, once the ice melted, they went swimming with the fishes. And then kind of on the warmer winter season, what we have done is we kind of cut it up, and we make a wildlife habitat. It's great for songbirds and for rabbits and other small animals. So I guess festive-wise, that's what we like to do. I mean, I know it's kind of after the Christmas season, but it's a way that we can, the old saying, reuse and recycle and still, you know, help benefit our natural resources.
So you do many things to help people celebrate the holidays, but while they're doing that, enjoy our natural surroundings, as the holidays can be a time to learn. It's not just giving presents and singing Christmas carols, putting up lights. It's a time when you can learn about the area that surrounds us. And at the Park District, you do so many great things this time of the year and other times. As we get ready to round out the year, James, there are many, many great things happened with the Park District this past year. It seems like every time we get together on these airwaves, we talk about an event that had more people than was expected. You were looking to possibly view owls or some other creature that fascinates people that is native to the area, and you are pleasantly surprised by the number. Tell us some of the highlights of 2023, maybe some of the surprises, and even if you have to, some of the disappointments, because when you deal with wildlife, don't always get the cards dealt that you were expecting.
You know, it's been a really good year with programming. You know, we've had, I would say, most of our programs, probably nine out of 10 of our programs that we had people that would come out from all ages. And actually, not just at Tallgrass Trail, but also our other parks. Because, you know, as I mentioned in the past, you know, at Myers Woods, Greensboro, and Tiredice, you know, those are not our popular parks, but that's why we still like to do programs there, because we still want people to get out and explore those other areas. And, of course, you know, the Marion Tallgrass Trail. But, you know, I would say some of my special highlights of the year would be our owl prowls, to looking for our woodcock friends, to the moth program. It was just, yeah, it was a very magical year. And then, of course, you know, as I've mentioned before, this summer was definitely a little different for me personally with my surgery and all that. So I wasn't able to have the outdoor kids program, which was a little disappointing. I was kind of down for a little while, but I'm hoping, you know, for next summer, we should be back on our feet and continue up that program, because we had a lot of people who reached out. We're wondering, you know, if we were going to have it. So at least I feel good that, you know, a lot of people did enjoy the Kiddos at the Park outdoor preschool program. And then, of course, our large events like Paleontology in the Park and Trailer Treats went really well this year. Also, to our other family fun events like our polar hikes, our winter hikes, like the polar hike and the Shamrock and the Sweetheart hike, and then our opening day of trails. So, I would say this year has just, it's been very, very good. Most time the weather has been very cooperative. And it's kind of funny you mentioned, sometimes when we're doing programs specifically for a particular wildlife species, sometimes they're not out and about, and then when you do something completely different on a different day, then that wildlife you were wanting before, well, they're out there at that moment. And also, too, probably was really magical was last month when I did an owl prowl and beaver friends from out at the lake. They were really, really close. And, you know, usually we don't get very close to our beaver friends because they're very skeptical of humans. But they let us get relatively close to them, got some good footage and some pictures. And eventually they did swim away. But yeah, I would say that was definitely our big highlights. I know Trail of Treats, I don't know if I can't remember if the last time I was on your show. But in my opinion, was definitely our probably our best Trail of Treats event. Attendance-wise, it actually was cut in half because last year we actually had over 1,200. This year we had a little over 500, and, you know, I was happy about that. It was a lot more manageable. Also, too, we had a lot of great support from the community to help with parking. So we're hoping that will continue on for next year. And, yeah, we're hoping to have more of our programs, our events, and, of course, hopefully look for our new intern. Boy, we'll be starting that in January.
Adam here on The Talking Place, speaking with our official Marion, Ohio County naturalist, Mr. James Anderson. He is on this show approximately once a month to talk about flora and fauna activities. And like with any program starring yours truly, always a surprise or two and always a few giggles at least every 5 2/3 minutes. Now, James, you talked about the beavers. That's one animal I would say I do not know very much about. And you said they're kind of shy then. They're not really the kind of animals that when human beings or other creatures want to view them in their natural setting, they're going to kind of be show-offs. They're kind of shy and kind of try to avoid human beings. But you said you had a couple surprises in that area?
Yeah. Like I said, we were just out of the lake, we were just trying to call in some owls, and sure enough, this beaver just was, you know, still in the water, but still relatively close, and just kind of looked at us and was chewing on some branches, and, you know, we kind of stayed still and quiet, but it was still pretty shocking, because most other times, you barely get a half mile, you know, by them, and then they're flapping their tails, communicating to other beavers, like, hey, there's danger around. But that night, for some odd reason, I think our beaver friends were like, hey, these people are all right.
So beavers, are they intelligent enough? I mean, cats and dogs are kind of like this. I mean, earlier today, in fact, I was at a friend's house, and they have 3 cats and 1 dog. The dog loves me. One of the cats tries to kill me. One kind of ignores me, and one actually kind of likes me. So they know if someone's around. They remember either it's by scent or the voice. I mean, I guess my voice is pretty distinctive, and I guess that's good if you're a radio person. Are beavers like the dogs and the cats, James, where they're intelligent enough to know that they're among the company of friends, and maybe these beavers just had a feeling that you were there to admire them, not to laugh at them or invade on their natural habitat?
You know, I would like to think that, but, you know, I've been working with the park district for 8 years, and like I said, every time I barely get by them, they're always swimming away or flapping their tails at their distress. I don't know what happened that evening of why they weren't scared. They just, I don't know, just that moment, they just felt like everything was safe and calm, and I don't know if that will ever happen again. That'd be cool if it would be, but no, beavers are not like cats and dogs.
So they're not too intelligent. Would that be a good way to say it? Because we have members of the animal kingdom that are very smart, arguably smarter than a lot of human beings. I mean, chimpanzees and gorillas and baboons, obviously, very similar biologically to humans, but they're certainly known to have quite a bit of brain power, often kind of surprising. In terms of those winter animals, James, and the animals that you regularly with your group participants get a chance to witness out in the wild, which members of the animal kingdom are the most intelligent? Which are the, out of lack of a better term, dimmest? Maybe not quite as cerebral as some of the others.
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, I try to challenge you with interesting stuff, James, and let's tickle the brain a little bit.
Yeah.
It's always good.
Yeah. I would say probably the most intelligent would probably have to be the crow. Crows are just really fascinating because, I mean, they can do puzzles. If you train them right, they can talk. They can do human sounds. They can do human language. Not as, you know, as well as an actual person, but, I mean, they can pick up on some phrases and things like that. and kind of our dimmest, and I know we've kind of talked about it in the past, but owls are actually not the brightest. And it's funny because we symbol owls as the wise owl, and I think Athena, you know, the goddess Athena is about the owl, and she's, you know, symbolizes wisdom as well. But if you look at an owl's head or skull, about 80 to almost 90% of their brain or their skull space is for their eyes, and it only needs about 10% or so for brain capacity. So yeah, owls, don't get me wrong, they're intelligent in their own ways, but I would definitely say that, you know, they're easy to fool. Even a dog barking can set an owl off. But yeah, I would definitely say crows would be the most intelligent, and maybe the owls, maybe not as intelligent.
Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, speaking with James Anderson, our official naturalist of Marion County and surrounding environs. James is a regular contributor to social media. He's easy to reach through email. And best of all, just listen to this show and you will certainly come away with more brain power, maybe even as much brain power as a crow when we are finished talking. The program's also available for an encore listen on our website, wwgh1071.com. If I'm not mistaken, James, on the 29th of November, you had a turkey event, a turkey extravaganza. Did that go on as scheduled? And if so, how did it go and how popular was it?
Yeah, it went well. We had three people that came out, and we just talked about turkey ecology, and then we also talked about a little bit of the history of turkeys in the state of Ohio. And we learned about the myth about how the wild turkey could have become our national bird or part of our national seal.
My understanding, didn't Ben Franklin want the turkey, not the eagle, to be the national bird? Is that just an urban legend?
No, that is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't like the turkey, or excuse me, the bald eagle, because he thought that the bald eagle represented the British. Because an adult bald eagle has a white head, and if you read in history books, you know how the British had the white bald caps, the white caps on top of their heads. Also, too, he actually, he quoted this, that he thought that the bald eagle was ranked as a coward, that was chastened by a kingbird no bigger than a sparrow could be driven out of his district. And he thought, well, if, you know, we just beat the British, you know, we need a bird that's going to be big and powerful, not be driven away by something a lot smaller than, you know, than itself. And also, too, he thought eagles in general, not just bald eagles, but eagles in general, you could find them, you know, just about almost all over the world. But turkeys you can only find in North America. Also, too, turkeys, especially the male turkeys, their heads, the male turkeys have that red, white, and blue head. And he said, well, hey, that's got to be great. That's got to be, you know, our new symbol for our country, you know, with the red, white, and blue flag. But, yes, how the story went is he proposed that idea. It went up to Congress, and apparently it failed by one vote. And they said we were that close of having the wild turkey as our national bird or national seal. But it was actually fake. It was not true. So what happened was what they think is he wrote a letter to his daughter just recommending the idea of, hey, maybe I want the turkey instead of the bald eagle. And then guess what they believe what happened is she must have told somebody. And you know, like when you tell a fishing story, that when you first catch the fish, it's really small, but every time you tell it to someone else, it gets bigger and bigger. That's what they believe what happened. And Ben Franklin originally wanted the scene from Exodus when Moses was splitting the Red Sea. That's what he originally wanted on the national seal, but we chose the bald eagle instead.
Well, that's a fascinating story, kind of a legend that we hear about. And Ben Franklin, yeah. James, we think of as one of the greatest Americans ever. He wasn't a president, but he's on the $100 bill. Gotta like that.
That's right.
Always enjoy seeing Benjamin Franklin's face and, of course, Mary Ellen Withrow's signature on a $100 bill. Wish I had more of those in my possession. So I'm really more of an observer than a possessor. But it's one of the cool things about American culture and the great history of our great land. But that's one thing, James, where Ben Franklin kind of fell flat on his face, and we chose the eagle instead. You know, the eagle's kind of majestic. The turkey, kind of weird looking with its wrinkly neck and and all those feathers. And the eagle just is just so majestic. And of course, that's because we're programmed to think of it because it's our national bird. But they are such beautiful animals. And turkey, well, I just think of that as something that you eat. I guess theoretically, you could eat eagle. I mean, you could pretty much eat any member of the bird kingdom, the bird family. Called poultry.
It's like chicken, right?
Yeah, I mean, chicken, turkey, ducks, goose, those are all creatures that are eaten regularly, and I do enjoy poultry myself. So instead of the national bird, the turkey became the dinner on Thanksgiving. I guess that's a bit of a demotion. Now, we think of the turkey, James, it's got that wrinkly neck, and we kind of joke that people who are elderly and wrinkly, that they get that kind of turkey neck. So it kind of comes from that, which I guess, if you don't mind laughing at yourself, I guess it's not too bad. But the turkey has a pretty small head. It's not like the owl's head that looks big, but, you know, ironically, as we've talked about, isn't, and the owl, interestingly, is not one of our most intelligent birds, actually one of our least intelligent. But how does the turkey, James, rank in the intelligence scale? It does have that small head and that big bushy body with all the meat we love to eat on Thanksgiving and other times. What kind of brain activity does your friendly neighborhood turkey possess?
I would say probably a little bit above an owl, but definitely not as intelligent as, you know, the crows or the macaws or the African gray parrot. Those guys are very, very intelligent. But yeah, the turkey, I would definitely put maybe just highly above, just slightly above an owl.
Did you watch the episode of WKRP, James, where they threw the live turkeys out the airplane, and maybe it was a helicopter, and they didn't realize turkeys couldn't fly, and they all kind of fell flat in the parking lot? That's a legendary TV episode, and all birds, James, theoretically can fly, and they have wings of some kind, but some of these birds, the wings are essentially vestigial. They don't work, or they work very poorly. What is the deal exactly with turkeys flying? They can't fly if you drop them out of an airplane, like a blackbird or a pigeon would, for example, but what exactly is the function of the wings on a turkey, and are there other animals, I mean chickens, which are similar to turkeys, where those wings are there but are almost useless for functionality?
Yeah, so turkeys, like you mentioned, do a somewhat of flight, but they do more what's called gliding. So because especially turkeys are such a heavy bird, I mean, those guys can get up to 25 pounds. You know, having that weight alone, I mean, that's going to take a lot of energy, a lot of force to, you know, create that lift and, you know, take them out for that distance. With the right wind conditions, they have recorded of a turkey gliding about almost 2 football fields. But on average, they can get about between 50 to maybe 70 yards. But they only do it to just escape danger. And also, the turkeys may, kind of glide up into a tree branch, because during the nighttime, that's where turkeys do. It's called roosting. Because since turkeys are so big, they don't really make an actual nest like what some other birds do. Turkeys make their nests on the ground. But if you were to drop a turkey out from a plane, it wouldn't make it because, as you mentioned, they would not be able to function very well, or their wings wouldn't. That good old gravity will pull them down really fast. But, you know, for instance, like a cardinal or a hummingbird or robin or something like that. I mean, obviously, those guys are definitely a little bit more aerodynamic. But also, too, pheasants and grouse would be a great example of our birds that don't really fly, but they do, again, that more of that gliding like turkeys.
So other birds we might think of as poultry, like geese and ducks and chickens, are similar. They don't really fly through the air like the hummingbird or blackbird or pigeon. or eagle, but they do glide or fly short
ducks
distance.
Ducks are actually really good flyers, actually. Some ducks can actually reach up to 60 miles per hour in flight. And mallards actually can fly up actually very, very high altitudes than some other species of birds. So, yeah, waterfowl are really actually really good flyers.
Yeah, I guess I've never really seen a duck fly. Is that something you don't really see often? I just think of them as sitting in the water. Or
you come out to Tallgrass, Big Island, especially in March during the migration season, you'll see tons of them.
Guess I need to get out more. Don't mm-hmm. die. But it just is in certain areas, though, because you see them in the pond, and you see the geese where they're kind of walking across the road and cars are just stopping for them. And ducks, ducks are unique in that they live in the water, or they do fly through the air, which I honestly didn't really know. So as I say, James, you always come away with a little more brain power after either listening to or participating in this program than you did before it started. So in terms of the turkeys, and how much do they like? Do they also like being in the water, or are they pretty much just ground animals that don't do a lot of flying?
Yeah, they're strictly ground. I haven't ever heard of a turkey swimming before. Now, they may hang around on the edge of the water looking for food or obviously getting water. But again, they are only going to be doing that flight only when they're escape danger or to get up into the trees at night. Other than that, it just costs too much energy for those turkeys to really do a lot of flying.
How many turkeys do we have here in Ohio, and what are the different kinds of species, and what kind of turkey might you see if you go to a warmer place like Texas, or maybe somewhere in California, like in the desert? What would be the difference in the kind of turkeys that you might encounter?
So in the United States, we only have just the actual wild turkey, but I know this is going to sound a little complicated. So in wildlife, you can have what's called a subspecies. Now, you've probably heard of the term species before, but subspecies means that they're basically identical, but they may have some slightly different color differences, but the big thing is genetic differences. So like there's the Rio Grande version. We have the eastern one. Then there's one, the Rocky Mountain wild turkey. I forget what California would be. But basically each of those pockets of those populations, I mean, they all look very, very similar. They may have some slight different color differences. But if you're at a genetic level, I mean, they'll have some differences of their, you know, genetic population.
Yeah. One way, as we talked about, James, to spot a turkey is that wrinkly neck. Is that something that is common pretty much to any turkey? And do any other birds that are similar to turkeys have a neck just as distinctively wrinkly, that's the way to say it, as a turkey? Or is that pretty much the turkey lay claim to that particular physical feature?
Pheasants kind of have that. Male pheasants do. That would probably be the two, especially just around here, would be probably, yeah, wild turkeys and male pheasants.
Okay, well, learn all kinds of things here on The Talking Place. Speaking with James Anderson, our official naturalist and naturalist for the County Park District. Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio. We certainly have studied Turkeys 101 and Turkeys 102, as you're fresh from the event on 11/29/23 regarding turkeys. And last but not least, James, is that an annual event? We'll be having another turkey extravaganza in 2024, right around Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I always like to do it around then because, you know, when we think of Thanksgiving, what do you think of? You think of the turkey. And, you know, and I always like to educate people about, you know, the fun facts about wild turkeys and also to the ecology. Because what's really fascinating about wild turkeys, there's a lot of ways you can tell male and female and adult and juveniles just by looking at some of the different body parts on them. Some animals, you only get one or two different things, but turkeys, there's at least 8 or 10 different ways on how to again tell a male and female and adult and juveniles. And actually, when we did that program, I tell people my most favorite way to tell a male and female turkey apart It's actually through their poop or their scat. Males make a J, and I always remember because a young male turkey is called Jake. So I remember J for Jake. And then for females, I know this sounds gross, but this is how my college professor always told me. But females make more of an ice cream swirl. So now you probably won't eat ice cream, right?
Oh, well, that's okay. I don't think I would ever lose my love for ice cream.
Oh, that's good.
James Anderson with us today on the Talking Place WGH Talk Radio. Anything else coming up in December, James, that we want our listeners to be aware of? And just because it's the holidays, because it's getting colder and sun goes down earlier, does not mean that you guys pack up shop until April. So anything you want to specifically point out for our listeners to be aware of that's coming up?
Yeah. So some of our upcoming things that we got going on December 6th at 4:30, we have a sunset hike. This will be at the trail, but this will be starting at the Hur Road parking lot. So we'll travel around the lake and look at some of the different local flora and fauna. Hopefully our beaver friends will be out. On the 13th at 4:30, we will do What Do Animals Do During the Winter Season. That'll start at the trailhead. On the 21st, we have Winter in the Woods. That will also start the trailhead at Tallgrass. So we'll just take a stroll and look at some of the different winter scenery along the trail. On the 27th at 2 o'clock p.m., we're doing a Looking for Bird's Nest program starting at the Tallgrass Trail trailhead. So since the leaves are down, we can look at some of the different bird's nests. On the 28th at 2 o'clock p.m., we have our Winter Tree ID program starting at the trailhead. And then on the 31st, New Year's Eve, Audubon Society, Kyoto Plains, Christmas bird count, which in the United States has been happening for about 128 years here in Marion County. It's been about almost 60 years. I've only been helping out within the last 6 years. But it's a very important citizen scientist project that, again, it's been happening for a very, very long time. But it's showing scientists about what's going on with the local bird population. But it contributes mainly Marion, also to Wyandotte and parts of Harding County. If you are interested, please, please let me know, because there is a certain procedure or protocol for this research project.
So lots of things happening. Just because the weather is getting colder and the Christmas trees are up does not mean that you guys are hibernating by any means. Just a few minutes left here with James Anderson on WGH Talk Radio. Thank you, folks, again for listening. As I said, it is time well spent. You'll learn something, you'll laugh a little bit, and more than likely be surprised more than a few times. You mentioned you have an intern opening coming up. You had the same intern the last 2 years who was excellent, Mr. Jonah Bowdle. Tell us about this intern program and how an interested person can apply to be your next intern.
Yeah, so we're looking for a person that's wanting to, you know, help with educating people in the natural resources here in our parks here in the Marion County area. So we'll be going to some of our different colleges and universities. But also, too, we're looking for high school students. When Jonah first started, he was just a junior. So, it doesn't have to be just college kids. Now, it is an actual paid internship. You know, there are several internships that, you know, don't pay. Now, I will admit, it's just minimum wage. But, you know, it's a great opportunity to get your foot in the door, get some experience. And, you know, we're always looking, again, for anybody that's just willing to, you know, want to get out there and learn, but also to teach, you know, all ages, from kids to seniors.
So a good opportunity for somebody. Not only do you get to work with Mr. James Anderson, learn something every day, make presentations to people of all backgrounds, you'll even get paid. That sounds like a pretty good gig to me. Last but not least, James, time to flip the calendar over in a few weeks, if you can believe it. 2024, it's a leap year. What are some of the events you're looking most forward to as we flip the calendar over in a few weeks?
Yeah, so we do our winter hike series. What we'll do is we do the Polar Hike in January, the Sweetheart Hike in February, and the Shamrock Hike in March. And so what we're going to do for the February and March is the second Saturday. And then for January, it'll be the first Saturday. But it'll be 1 to 4. We'll do a guided nature tour. The nature tour will start 1:30, but it's a come as you go. My one board member, Janine Williams, will have some lovely refreshments for people to enjoy.
So a lot of things coming up in 2024. If a listener or someone who follows you on Facebook, James, has a suggestion for an event that you guys can put on, can that be done? And how would somebody go about making a suggestion for maybe a new idea for an event for next year?
Sure, but yeah, we're always looking for new ideas. Of course, again, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, message us on there. But also, too, if you don't do that but want to make a phone call, call our office phone number at 740-223-4161.
So many ways to get in contact. Well, James, we thank you very much for being on with us today. Always a good time, and whenever you have fun, it always goes by quickly. We try to discuss most of the things that were on my agenda. Always miss an item or two, but that's okay. We will just save it for next month and let people anticipate what will be discussed during our next radio presentation. And last but not least, James, remind people how to stay in touch with you on social media and other means, and exactly which Facebook, Twitter, or X, or whatever they call it now, and Instagram and YouTube channels they should bookmark to make sure that they are always aware of what you guys are doing.
Yes, so Marion Tallgrass Trail or the Marion County Ohio Park District, that's the easiest way to look us up on all of the social media platforms.
So many ways to get in touch. Well, thanks again, James. Hopefully you'll stay warm, and I guess got a minute or two left. What's been your impression of the weather so far? Is it seems awfully changeable so far this fall. Do you think it's going to calm down a bit in early 2024? What do you think as someone who's outdoors a lot and experiences all these different seasonal changes?
So it's funny, the woolly bear caterpillars that I've been seeing for the most part have been saying we're going to have a mild winter. Now, of course, I've seen some woolly bear caterpillars that say we have a little bit more harsher winter. But I think, you know, we're kind of late in the kind of starting the cool season. We've been pretty warm. I mean, we were in the 60s, you know, half of November. And, you know, that's very, you know, uncommon, 50s, 60s. And, but now it's, you know, it's starting to cool down this week and kind of last week, too. But we're hoping rain, you know, I tell you what, we've definitely been behind rain a little bit. So I know we don't like snow, but I'm hoping we do get some snow just to help with the water table. Because if you go out to the trail, especially at the second bridge, you'll look at, especially facing towards the Big Island Wildlife Area, a lot of that area has been very dried up this summer. And also from the winter we didn't really have. So I know we don't like snow, but it is important.
It seems like we've had a lot of drought periods this year, and then one day it rains three quarters of an inch. So we're kind of getting one extreme or the other, but that's kind of keeps you on your toes, and that's part of the fun of Ohio weather. I like the change of seasons. I don't want to have summer or winter every day. I like having some changing and have different weather as we go from one season or one month to the next. And I don't even mind if the weatherman is wrong from time to time. It keeps you guessing, and surprises, always fun. So once again, James Anderson, thank you again for being with us here on The Talking Place. Stay warm, stay well, and we will talk to you again soon. Adam at WWGH1071.com.